am so blessed that they're here tonight. And I want them to come. But he's brought his trumpet. Y'all heard him play, but I think there's more coming. Amen. I want him to come and just, amen, talk to us tonight, preach to us, whatever God has given him tonight for this service. Amen. Hallelujah. We're thankful for those that are brave enough, loving enough, caring enough to take this gospel to other people. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand as he comes. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You ought to take your liberty.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord tonight? Amen. We are in the presence of the Lord, and where he's at, anything can happen. And all of it good if you'll let him do it. Amen. He's here to save. He's here to heal. He's here to pick us up. Amen. He's getting us ready for that coming. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful to be in church tonight, and I want to give honor to your pastor. The more we talked on the phone, I thought, surely I know him. It has been a long time since I've seen him, but with the minute I saw him, I knew that I've seen Brother and Sister Crosswhite before, and been in meetings before. Well, why don't you go ahead and sit down if you'd like to, amen. Maybe you'd like to hear just a little bit. Are y'all wanting to hear the trumpet again?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? Yes, sir. Oh, well, I'm going to wait on it maybe till next time. I'm teasing. But I thought I'd like to tell you a little bit about Mexico. And we've got a few pictures to show. And if you want to see what the Lord has done for us, we've been 11 years in Mexico. And before I got to Mexico 11 years ago, we was in Buford, Georgia. Anybody ever heard of Timothy Copeland? And he was my pastor, and he passed away a little over a year ago. But right after he got to Buford, Georgia, we started the Spanish work there in the church. And so when I left in 2013, in February of 2013, to go to Mexico, we had a congregation of Spanish people. There was about 120, 130 people in our church in Buford, Georgia. And so, but I felt years and years ago, way back in 1983, my pastor took me to Mexico and something got a hold of me and didn't let go. And so I thought, well, I was just going to be in Buford, Georgia. But all of a sudden the door came open and I went to Mexico, and it was amazing. I was invited to go to Mexico, with Brother Rocha. I don't know if you ever heard of Brother Rocha, and, I saw him on a deal there at Brother Metlin's this morning. But at any rate, he invited me to go to Mexico. My pastor said, he knew my burden for a long time, and so we went, and Brother Copeland went with us. At the last minute, he decided to go with us, and so we went down the 20th of February 2013, started in a house. We did have a picture of that, but I don't think we have that. Obviously, that's really where it started, in a house. We were there for about 2 or 3 weeks, the first week that we were there, we began to preach, and we got a little speaker and turned it all the way up where everybody out in the street could hear. And there was two ladies, for instance, one night was up on the roof, and it was just an open air. It was inside the house, but it was kind of like their center of the thing. It was just open air. And two ladies had been hearing the preaching. They came down one night, came inside into the service and received the Holy Ghost. People was coming in off the street, receiving the Holy Ghost. And so my pastor looked at me one night and said, well, it looks like you just need to stay in Mexico and the rest is history. So he left, and I went down just as a visit, and all of a sudden I became a missionary. I don't know if it's ever happened quite that way, but this is a picture of about the first about 3 weeks, I suppose, that we were there. And we found this place. We'd walked all over town looking for a place to rent to have church. And hope y'all not bored with this. Is this interesting? Anyway, it's a testimony. It really is a testimony. And so that was an exciting day for me right there whenever we got that place. And that was the inside of it. We began to clean it up. They had music going. And boy, we were happy, happy, happy. That's where we started, right there in that little garage part. My wife and I lived to the left. Inside there was a couple of bedrooms that came along with the place. And we paid about $150 a month for this place, and still do. We still have it. Now, if you see, we got there in February. And anyway, when that day that we opened the door to that, I got up on the roof. They have flat roofs up there. And down there in Mexico, we got up on the roof. I took that picture. And then in June, I went back home. And actually, the end of May, went back home. Brother Copeland wanted me to show some pictures. I resigned the Spanish work and went right back to Mexico. But he wanted to see some pictures and hear what was going on in Mexico. So I showed this picture and I said, "Can anybody see a church in the backyard?" It was quiet as it is right now. But this was in June, and by the 1st of December, where you see that green tree in the center there, on to the back of the property, we had our first service in a church that we built in the backyard. And you'll see a picture of that in a minute. I wondered why I did concrete work all of my life and welding, and I found out why. It came in handy in Mexico. So, but this is where we started, in that garage. This was a few months into our missionary journey. And go to the next picture. Oh, wait a minute. Can you go backwards? If you can't, that's okay. You see that big tall guy in the back? Well, he went with me. His mama said, "Why don't you take my son with you? Don't go by yourself about an hour and a half down the road to go to another church service." And I said, "Well, where is he at?" And she said, "Hold on, I'll get him." And he came out and he had one of them big old mustaches. And he said, "I'll go with you." And he got in the truck and rode with me over there. And I took a liking to the guy. We got over about an hour and a half of another place where we was trying to start a church. And some people out of our church in Beaufort, Georgia, lived over there. And so we'd go over there and preach every week. I'd go over there every week and preach. Anyway, so I took him with me. And so while we was having a service, the phone kept ringing. This brother from that was out of our church in Beaufort, Georgia, went back to start a church in this little town. He was getting a call. It just kept ringing. I finally told him while I was preaching, I said, "You better go outside. It may be something going on." So he went outside to answer the phone after the service. He said, "I'm talking fast because I want to get done quick." But anyway, he said, "Oh," he said, "that was Brother so-and-so." And he said, "You should not have taken that guy with you." He said, "He's with a cartel and he's with a mafia, and he could call somebody and have you stopped and have you kidnapped or maybe chopped up into hamburger meat or something like that." And you know how bad that scared me? Yeah, you're right, it didn't, because he was already crying. And before we left those three services that we had there that week, he received the Holy Ghost. He's like one of my sons, his bodyguard. They hired him to whoop up on about three or four of them at one time, and he could do it too. And but anyway, he's got a sweet spirit about him. But I'm going to tell you, God will change you. Yes. Amen. The power of God will change you. Amen. And so, okay, next picture. Ta-da, church in the backyard. And like I said, I was a concrete finisher. I poured that slab and I welded those trusses that went across the wall there and put a tin roof on it. And this was our 5th year anniversary conference right there. And so look what the Lord has done. Amen. Now the next picture, this is just altar service that we had. Okay, next picture. just kind of a history in pictures. They fought dogs in this thing. From the roof, you could probably see that thing. They fought dogs. Wicked, wicked things went on there before we got there. The owner's wife, she didn't even want to come in on the place because she had seen something. I don't know. And she was scared. But whenever we got there, whatever was there, we run it out. Hallelujah. And so we fixed that thing up, and I fixed it to where it hold water and put that brick around the edge, and we made a baptismal tank there. We baptized many a person in that tank in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible studies. We give Bible studies. We have right now Bible study, open air Bible study / church service. We'll find somebody that'll, their houses are not like our houses. Usually they live in, many people over there live in a little small, square room, probably as big as your living room, maybe, or smaller. And, but most of their living is outside. And, so we go over to people's house and we set up a speaker, and there again we turn it way up where everybody in the community can hear. And we began to give Bible study, preaching, and we've had a lot of people that's gotten the Holy Ghost in these open-air Bible study services. And so this was one of the places we had a Bible study, and right behind it is the Catholic Church. Anyway, that's my assistant in the center there. That's another Bible study in another location. And the man in the on the left is one of my ministers in the church in Mexico City. Okay? It was our first graduation class. This was a little over a year ago. And it was a three-year program. Brother Gary Howard from Tulsa, Oklahoma, offered us the college classes, and this was our first graduation class from our Bible school. And that's my wife in the center. This was the old church. We've got a new church now. This was the old church that we turned into the Bible, kind of the Bible college, Bible school, and we have youth services still there, and we still only pay about $150 a month for this place. And God has really blessed us with that place, so we kept it. Now, this is the new church, and it was still under construction at this point. And isn't it beautiful? Hallelujah. The next picture, this is the platform area, and me and the men in the church built this this church. And so, okay, you can go to, this was our 10-year anniversary conference. And that was over a year ago that picture was taken. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Another shot of it right there. Hallelujah. Altar service. Amen. This is the upstairs. This is our fellowship hall. We're about to the point to where we can start Sunday school. We've just kind of built this as we go. We've been working on this thing now for about 3 years. But we have service at 11 o'clock on Sunday, and as soon as it's over, we have food and fellowship upstairs. That works really good in Mexico. And then when we get done, we come down and have our evening service. Right now, they're probably getting close to finishing up on the evening service, maybe right now. Hallelujah. And that kind of, people don't have automobiles like we have here. They don't come to church in air conditioning automobiles. Most people get to church by way of our bus or vans. And that's been one of the needs that we've had. We had a van that got stolen. Of course, it was a piece of junk anyway. And then another one, the motor blew up in it. It was a piece of junk too. But of course, the Lord is providing for us. And we had a bus on the way to Mexico, and it broke down in Dallas. So anyway, we have great need of transportation because that's how most people get to church. Very few people have cars. That bus right there is ready for the junkyard. We're just about to put it away, and we bought it, and it was very well used when we bought it several years ago. And that van is now broke down. And so anyway, This is our church in Guadalajara. And it's the upstairs part. It's an upper room there. And so we have church in the upper room there in Guadalajara. This is a picture of the inside of it. This young lady got the Holy Ghost fairly recently. And next picture, that is a picture of the inside of the Guadalajara church. And I usually go there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I do have a minister there, a young minister, but I still go and either there or the next picture is our church in Mexico City. That's our church in Mexico City right there. And we're having revival in Mexico City. We had some setbacks for a while. And right before I came out, we baptized six on a Wednesday night. I'm usually Tuesday and Wednesday in one of those other daughter works, either in Guadalajara or Mexico City. Right now, I am concentrating on our new work in Mexico City. Amen. And we haven't been back to Mexico very long, and I'm sad to say that my dad was dying in the hospital, and I had to come out of Mexico, and we just buried my dad here last Saturday. And so that's the reason why that I'm here this time. But anyway, that's the inside of our church in Mexico City. And the Lord has blessed us with a good place there. And we have living quarters in it. And our minister, when we go there, we have a little kitchenette that we've set up in a bedroom, and we just stay there. And we have service on Tuesday. He's got a Bible study. My minister that is there has a Bible study going on Tuesday evening. As soon, it's an all-day trip to get to Mexico City, and then we have a Bible study. And then service on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday at noon, we have a Bible study. Then Wednesday night, we have a service. And then we get up at 5:30 in the morning on Thursday and travel back. And we have service, our midweek service on Thursday night at the home church that you just saw, the big church. And then Friday night, we have another open-air Bible study. And then Saturday is outreach and youth service. And then it's Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then Monday we have Bible study. And then it's Tuesday and Wednesday again. So we're busy. We're busy in Mexico. Hallelujah. We don't have long to work. And so I'm doing the very best I can. Amen. To work for the Lord while it is day. Because night cometh when no man can work. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, there's no young people, I'm telling you, you need to find your place, your purpose in God's kingdom. And he's got a purpose for every one of your lives. Hallelujah. A lot of people are just wasting. They're wasting their life. They're just wandering around like vagabonds. We got a lot of spiritual vagabonds. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a purpose for your life. And whenever you find it and you fulfill it, there's no joy. There's no greater joy than to know that you're fulfilling the purpose that, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, 11 years ago, I felt like I found out the reason why I was born. I felt like I finally found my divine purpose in God. Hallelujah. And it don't just happen to a few people. It God wants it to happen to everybody that's in this place today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I started out just like the rest of you young people. I got in the church in Shepherd, Texas. Ever heard of Shepherd, Texas? You know? And I was just a young man, about 17 years old. And you know, God will plant a dream in you. Because you see, whenever you get the Holy Ghost, your whole order of life changes. It's not seeking rock and roll music and boyfriends and girlfriends and dope and drinking and making money and just going through life. There's something that happens to you, and you start realizing that there's a real divine purpose for us being here. And you can, and whenever you receive the Holy Ghost, your mind is changed. Your nature is changed. And you can start whenever you're living for God and you're praying and you're staying filled with the Holy Ghost, you can start feeling, you know, hey, God's ordering my step. You keep putting your life in the hands of God and He'll order your steps, and you start feeling a direction. And just like, anybody ever remember a man by the name of Jacob in the Bible? The dreamer. He was a young guy. Oh, hey, brothers, I had a dream that the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowed down to me. Oh, so are you trying to say that all of us is going to bow down to you? Well, maybe as a young man, you know, maybe you kind of felt pretty good about that. You know, but by the time the Lord knocked the sap out of him, got all that old pride and stuff, I don't say that he did, but God was sure having to work on him. That didn't happen overnight. That dream didn't happen overnight. He had a pit experience. Yeah, he was sold into, his brothers sold him. He was betrayed by his family. You don't think that hurts? What did it happen? Lord, God's working on you. We don't fit in this world, by the way, young people. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. We are of a different kingdom. We're of a different world. Oh, hallelujah. And so, You got to understand that God had to work on Jacob a little bit. And then he gets over there and God's with him. And he blesses him. And he gets all the way up in this big important guy's house. And I mean, he's being blessed. But all of a sudden, his wicked wife, you know the story, don't you? And then she started trying to take him down. Joseph. What did I say? I'm sorry. You know, it's kind of like Moses' ark, you know. A lot of people preach about Moses' ark, but anyway, I meant to say Joseph. You see, most of my preaching is in Spanish for years and years and years. And so sometimes when I go in English, I mess up. And so, but anyway, so we're talking about Joseph. I'm sorry, Joseph was in the pit, not Jacob. And Joseph, well, Jacob went through it too. He kind of went through some stuff too, didn't he? But anyway, we better go back to Joseph. And so Joseph, this woman is after Joseph, you know, Potiphar's wife. And then she lies on him. Why is this happening to me? I just don't understand. Well, God's got you. He's got you back. He's working on you. Well, I'm in the dungeon now. It's rough around here. It's dark. Yeah, well, God's working on you. He ain't left you. He's still there. He's getting you ready for something real important. God's got a purpose for your life, son. Well, it don't look like it down here in this dungeon. It's looking pretty bleak. Yeah, but don't you feel his presence? He ain't forsook you. Yeah, but I don't understand why that. Yeah, but he's with you. He's with you. He's with you until the end of the world. Hallelujah. Don't throw in the towel. And all of a sudden, a couple old guys get thrown in there, a butcher and a baker. And they have dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. And he told butler. I started to say bachelor, butler. He said, whenever you get up to the king, remember me. Mention me to the king. Mention me to him. Don't forget me. I'm down here in this dungeon. Well, God says, I still ain't done. It ain't time yet. He gets up there and he forgets all about Joseph. And so about another year, I think, went by. And you could say, you know, I just don't understand. I'm done with this. Huh? Trying to help you. It ain't a rose garden. This is a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he will not leave you or forsake. And yeah, you can leave him if that's what you want to do, but I suggest you don't. Because he's got a purpose for your life. You know, nowadays, all of this charismatic-y stuff, it's just, I want my blessing right now, right now, right now. And then let me go home and everything just fine and no problems. Living for God is not that way. There's blessings. There's blessings. But hey, brother, hey, sister, it's a fight. Yeah. It's a fight, not a game. Hallelujah. But we don't lose. You don't ever have to lose. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. You just keep on praying. You just keep on believing the Lord. Keep on praying through to the Holy Ghost. He's not going to leave you. He's working on you. Yeah. Sometimes it's... you know what? Whenever he called... And I ain't even got no notes for this. Is it okay? Whenever God called Abraham, you know what? We're children of Abraham. All of those that are of the faith is children of Abraham. That's what the Bible says. Hello? Now, he told these guys that were the Pharisees, these religious leaders, you know, we have Abraham to our father. He said, if you was of Abraham's seed, you'd do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham have to go through? Abraham, get up and leave your mom and daddy. They need help. And I got my inheritance here, and they're going to get mad and take me out of their will. And I get them. Okay, somebody else next. But no, he got up and left. Well, that seems hard. It's hard for Mexicans, boy. They are family people. It's hard for them to get that concept. You know, they cling to mom and daddy, and. If we're going to be children of Abraham, we've got to do the works of Abraham, right? Yeah. Well, and then all of these promises. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Well, Lord, I don't understand that. I ain't even got a kid. You know, when God called Abraham, Abraham is still impacting the whole world today. Do you understand that? He's been dead and gone for centuries, but his life is still impacting this world. And your life will impact this world for the good or for the bad. I'd rather it be for the good. I don't know about you. Yeah. God kept his promise, but Abraham didn't see it. Hallelujah. But whenever he received the call, listen to me. Whenever God called Abraham, get up and leave your mom and daddy. Well, I need some proof. Could you turn on this great big computer screen and show me all of the promises? And let me see. I need to see before I start. No, it's a walk by faith, people. He didn't turn on a big computer screen and show all the way to 2024 and say, look at this church in Nacogdoches. This is another group that's going to be a part of your family. They're going to be children of Abraham. Abraham, if you just listen to me, you're going to have a great nation. People all over the world is going to become your spiritual children. They didn't turn a computer on. It's a walk by faith. This ain't no sales pitch. You gotta believe. That's what they were singing about tonight. I believe. What do you believe? You believe the word of God. You believe the promises of God. You know that he cannot lie. He don't lie. Abraham realized that. God don't lie. So, they forgot Joseph. He's still in the dungeon. Most people would start saying, yeah, I'm done with this. I ain't living for God no more. I'm done. But all of a sudden, one day, the king, you know, Pharaoh, the good one, he had a dream. And then, Oh my goodness, the butler says, I forgot. Oh, there's a man in prison that can interpret dreams. Go get him. He got all shaved up, cleaned up, because he was going to see the king. We got to get all cleaned up. We're going to see the king. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, but in a moment's time, boom, he's taken out of an old dark dungeon all the way to number two in the kingdom. Well, who can be better suited to do this big plan of 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of plenty and putting it up in storage and getting it ready for the 7 years of famine better than you, sir? Right. Well, dun, 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 and years had gone by, but he finally, it become God's timing. And then all of a sudden, here come some brothers. Just like the dream. But now, Joseph is not a young, arrogant novice. He's gone through some stuff. God's got him ready. He ain't got no pride. Let me tell you something, young people, old people, middle-aged people. There ain't no room in the kingdom of God for pride. There ain't no room for it. God can't use people that are proud and vainglory and trying to be Mr. Big Ike. You got to be humble like Jesus was. And you're going to have to go through something. But don't worry about it. He's got you on his wheel and he's working on you. Yeah, you get broken and, oh, it's a little painful, but God is trying to make something out of your life. There's some young ladies here tonight that felt the call of God. There's two young ladies right here that was praying. Where'd they go? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan for your life. And let me tell you something, it's good. Ain't nothing bad about it. There ain't nothing bad about it. But you can mess it up. If you don't understand, you got to go through some. Got to go through something. Everybody does. It's God's not going to have no sissies. You know, in the army, you have to go through boot camp. I'm just speaking from my heart tonight. I didn't even plan on doing this. But you know what? If you're going to be in God's army, you ever heard of them Navy SEALs? They go through that Hades week. It's pretty rough. They call it that for a reason, you know. Don't get much sleep. That's because they're getting them ready to be soldiers. And God's getting you ready. He's trying to make a soldier out of you, not a crybaby.
That's good.
Ain't no crybabies in his army. You got to get some experience with to build your faith up and learn how to pray and learn how to persevere and learn how to, hey, we got some opposition. We got a devil against us. We got our flesh against us. We got the world against us. We got to fight. We got to keep on going. Yes. This ain't a bed of roses. I'm going to tell you, young men, in Mexico, they got machoism. That macho is coward. It's useless. You hear me? They don't stay faithful to their wife, to their children. They don't stay faithful to their job. They just obey their flesh. Get me another beer. Give me another girl. They're unfaithful to their wives. They won't even get married because they don't want to be tied down to nothing. That ain't a man.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, it takes more of a man to live for God than it does to yield your own stinking flesh and live in sin. Anybody can do that. Be a man. We got too many weenies this day and time. They can't take any hard preaching. They can't take any correction. They can't take any boot camp. I'm going to tell you, God is trying to make something out of us. You need to understand, it's a great privilege to fight in this battle. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to be a winner. to be victorious over sin. It's a wonderful thing to understand that God is trying to get us ready for his coming. Hallelujah. That's right. We live in a world where we have to kind of tiptoe now. Oh, you're going to offend somebody. Oh. And like my pastor said, the only way that preacher can say less is to talk more. God's getting us ready for that great day. Preacher's going to step on your toes sometime. You got to be holy. You got to live right. You got to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to stay crucified in an altar in prayer. This ain't no walk in the park. Our religious world, the charismatic world, it wants to creep in and affect us, and everybody's got to be careful and mamby-pamby with us, or we'll just change churches. That ain't Bible. That's some kind of end time weird spirits moving around. I'm going to tell you, we better be strong. We better take some preaching. We better understand that we got to be rebuked and we got to be corrected. We got to be exhorted. You ain't going to get to heaven being a little spoiled brat. Wow, that ain't my notes either. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to make it. Amen. And you know who your biggest enemy is? No, it's that guy you look at in the mirror every morning. That's your biggest enemy right there. Oh, yeah. You better bring that old boy to the altar. That's right. You let your flesh is an enemy of God's. Your carnal mind is a perfect enemy of God. That's why we got to be born again. That's why we got to have the Holy Ghost. That's right. We got to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Because your old carnal nature. Boy, y'all are all dressed up and look so Christian-y today. But y'all remember that old rock and roller? Boy, I'm just shooting a shotgun. I'm just covering a lot of area tonight. It looks like. Y'all remember that old rock and roller, Born to be Wild? Y'all remember that old rock and roller? Hey, Mr. Rock and Roller, you ain't the only one. We was all born wild. That's right. We had that wild nature. Oh, yeah. You got to have that divine nature. You know how you get the divine nature? You die out to that wild man. And you take on, you receive the Holy Ghost and you take on that divine nature. Hallelujah. That wild nature is an enemy of God's carnal mind. When sin came into man, it affected the way he thought. It affected his nature. It affected what he loved and what he hated. That's why man hates holiness. They don't like that holiness stuff. They go to them big mega charismatic churches because they don't preach on holiness over there. But that's the broad way that goes to destruction. God said, be you holy as I am holy. You got to have the Holy Ghost to be holy. Well, I don't know why that's a little side road. I'm going to go back to the purpose of God. For your life, God's got a divine purpose for your life. I'm telling you, I had no intentions of saying any of these things. But I see some young people that God's touching tonight. God's calling you. He's got a purpose for your life. And it's not just coming to church every once in a while and getting a little touch and going and living like you've always lived. God's got a divine purpose. And you need to understand that he's called you into the kingdom for such a time as this. Anybody ever heard that before? You know who that's about? Esther. Beautiful. Y'all remember the story of Esther? You know, they're in a foreign country. People of God disobeyed God and they wound up in bondage. And so, but while they're in bondage, God still loves them. You know, he's chastising them. And so, but you see, God knows what's going. He sees the big picture. All you can see is right here. You can't see the big picture. You can't see what's going on. But God could. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knew what was fixing to go on in that kingdom where old, what was his name? King Ahasuerus or whatever his name was. I can't think. I didn't spend it. What? Ahasuerus this. And I'd see there Spanish messed me up on that name. But anyway, this king's wife, she got involved in that women's liberation movement. And so she wound up not the queen anymore. Yeah, it's funny, ain't it? But you know what? That's impacted our world too. And so, that's right. And so, that's right. Same old spirit. And so the king started looking for a new queen. And you know the story? You know? And so there was this little girl, and she was a nobody. She didn't have a mom and daddy. Anybody here like that today? Anybody here, you feel like you just everything came to you upside down? Maybe you came from a broken home. Maybe you feel like, you know, you don't have the promises that everybody else has. After all, the way you was raised, where you come from, you know, everybody just thinks you're just a piece of trash maybe. But you see, you're in the kingdom of heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you are being called into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you ain't got here yet, but Jesus is calling you. Because what the world is seeing, Jesus is seeing something different. He sees what you can be. This girl didn't have a Chinaman's chance, as we used to say, of being anything. Her uncle, I think it was her uncle, yeah, Mordecai, he was the only thing as a parent to her. He was like a dad. Everybody okay? And so they start. He hears about it. Anyway. They take this little Jew girl that's nobody and say, "Hey, the king's looking for a new queen, and you're pretty, girl. You're pretty." Well, so, you know the story. He went through mucho girls. Lots of girls putting on their makeup you know, extended eyebrows. And, you know, they really dressing up for the king. There are many, many, many skirts. And I can just imagine, you know, we're going to try to appeal to the king in that kind of way. But you see, when it came Esther's turn, she said, I just want, I'm not requiring any of those things. You know what the king wants. I just want what the king wants. That's the way it is living for God. We're not trying to satisfy this old stinking flesh. We want to please him. We dress because that's the way he wants us to dress. We want to please him. We're not trying to please the world. We don't want to fit into the world. We want to fit into the kingdom of heaven. We want to be pleasing to him. He's coming after a church that's without spot or wrinkle. He's coming after a chaste virgin. Not a prostitute looking, you know, Sunday. And then on Monday, hey. Love you, world. Love not the world. Anyway, that's another sermon. I ain't even got no notes tonight. I hope that's okay. So, Esther, whenever she goes before the king, is like, boo, whoo, my goodness. I ain't never seen a prettier girl. And she's just natural. She ain't got none of all of that caked on junk. She don't got them cat eyes. And man, she's pretty. That's what I want right there. That's what I want. And so, man, so you know the story. Esther gets up there. You see, God's got a purpose for your life. See, Esther didn't know what was going on. God knew what was going on, but he was setting the stage for deliverance for his people that he loved, even though they were in bondage. The Lord had a plan, and Esther was a candidate to feel the plan of God and to be used of God. But you see, Esther couldn't see that. Right. Esther couldn't see that. So all of a sudden, dun, 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 Queen Esther. And she's up there in the palace, and she's a queen now. She can have all of the pretty clothes she wants, and she's got these girls around her with a little palm branches and fanning her, and give me another grape. Petting and pampering her, and she's got all of these little girl servants around her, and if they could see me on Facebook now. You know, boy, I wish my friends could see me now. Woo, I'm up here and getting all of this attention. It's because I'm just so beautiful. Some people think the reason they're in church is just because, you know, they were just such a good person. You know, they were just, I'm telling you, I was just lucky. Here I am. And come on, preacher. You better patty cake with me a little bit, or I'm going to find me another church. Better be careful how you talk to me. Hey, you better understand. You better understand. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Didn't even plan on going down this road. But you see, all of a sudden one day when, you know, the little palm branches is going and they're putting grapes in her mouth and they're mopping her brow and petting and pampering her. And you need another pillow, Queen Esther? And, you know, I think I could use another pillow. And all of a sudden somebody comes running in and says, Esther! Your uncle is wanting to talk to you right away. He's in anguish, and he's fasting, and he's got sackcloth and ashes on. He needs to talk to you right away. Oh, tell him I ain't got time. Just take him some food and some clothes. Don't bother me. I'm up here having a good time. I just got here after all. You know, I don't want to be bothered with anything. And comes back and said, oh, it's urgent. You better go talk to him. You better go talk to him. Esther, you need to go before the king right away. They're fixing to kill every Jew in this country. There's a wicked old Haman that is after every one of our jugular veins. He's wanting to kill all of us. Oh, uncle, you know why? I can't do that. If I go before the king, I could die. He hasn't invited me. I have to wait till he invites me. No, this is urgent, lady. And you need to understand that I'm beginning to see that you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. You're here for a purpose. It's not just because you're pretty. It's not just to pet and pamper you. It's not just so you can enjoy the palace and all of the luxuries. God's got you here for a reason. You better wake up. You better understand, because it ain't going to be good for you. And if you're not going to do it, God's going to find somebody else to do it. You want to be a crybaby? You want to be a puffed up and spoiled brat, spiritual brat? Well, God can just find somebody else to take your place. But it ain't going to be good for you, baby. Every one of us needs to understand that we got a purpose. A divine purpose. And it ain't to satisfy your stinking flesh. It's not to become a spiritual vagabond or I know some of them, kin to one of them or two. It's not to be a bench warmer. Right. Not to be a critic. Yeah. Sit around and gripe and complain because they didn't have the right kind of spoon to feed you with or whatever. I'm going to tell you, it's a warfare. It's a warfare. But God's got a divine purpose for your life. And so finally, Esther wakes up and she says, oh my God, I can see it now. I couldn't see it until right now. I thought it was just because I was so pretty. I thought it was just because I was just lucky. I just was so blessed. And so now, you know, I'm in the palace and the king loves me, and I just thought it was because of me, but I can see now it was God's order. It was God that put me in the kingdom for this time right here to save my people. I've got to do something. She said, fast and pray 3 days because I'm going to go before the king. And if I die, I die. I thought Mexico was over with. And whenever the door flung open, the cartel was at its worst in Mexico. Mom and daddy said, no, don't go to Mexico. Don't you know you could get killed? Well, I guess it's kind of like Esther. God's put me in the kingdom for such a time as this. If I die, I die. If I die, I die. I've been shot at. You hear me? I've been shot at. And I'm talking about ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta- die. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on doing the will of God. And you better do it too. Well, my husband's going to leave me. Oh, I'm going to get kicked out of the inheritance. Let it be. God is our inheritance. You can't lose with Him. Understand, you got a divine purpose. We'll read the rest of the story. She went before the king, trembling. Oh, trusting in God. God, my life is in your hands. And he extended that scepter. Oh, that's that beautiful queen I married. Ooh, come on, baby. Tell me what you want. Half of the kingdom. Before it's over, she was able to put her grievance before the king. And say, there's a wicked man named Haman that's trying to kill us all. He's got these gallows set up. He's going to kill Mordecai and laugh about it. But in the end, he's the one that got hung on the gallows. The devil wants to tell you, hey, it's going to be bad for you. You're going to get killed. You're going to lose everything. You're going to be in a bad shape. No. You can't lose in God's kingdom. You fulfill that place that God's got for you. And let me tell you, the reason I'm doing this, I feel something about these young people today, tonight. God has got a purpose for your life, and it usually starts in our youth. That's really where God wants us to start seeking Him early. Not till after you're in pieces. You know, people's got this idea, well, when I get old, I'll repent right before I draw my last breath. No, that ain't God's will, and you may not even be able to repent. You may not even be able. God may not even be talking to you. And if the Spirit don't draw you, you ain't going to get there. You better seek God whenever you're young. You better seek God when you're old. If you're in this place and you're an old person, God calls old people too. Yes, He does. But you better move whenever He calls. You better move when He calls. Oh, Jesus. So God's got a beautiful plan for your life. I was a young man, and you know where my missionary journey started? Shepherd, Texas, behind the steering wheel of an old Sunday school bus, bringing people to church, knocking on a door. Never dreamed I'd be a missionary in Mexico, but I started working right where I was at. I didn't sit around and twiddle my thumbs and wait till God flung me in Mexico. Boom, you know. All of the provision to go with. It's been a fight. But it's been victory every step of the way. I tell you where my missionary journey started. It started when my pastor told me. He said, Brother Mike, I want you to go over there and clean my flower bed out. That's the way a lot of people. How much you going to pay me? No, God saw my heart. I'm telling you, God saw my heart. And this is the attitude that we got to have. I went over there and I felt I was doing it as unto the Lord. I remember going over there and pulling out every little stinking weed out of that thing and hoeing it up and doing the very best I could in that little garden, that little flower garden in the front of his house, because I felt like God was looking at everything I was doing. You want some pay? No, sir. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. God sees what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you, God saw a young boy down there working. He saw my attitude, I believe. I'm not glorifying me. I'm just telling you, that's what you need to do. We need to understand the value of being in the kingdom of heaven. We need to understand that God pays. He pays. He pays more than you can imagine. He'll pay you 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. You can't lose working for God. Was I down there thinking, boy, if I do this, I'll be a missionary one of these? Uh-uh. Didn't even enter my mind. God sees your heart. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that's willing. It's willing to lay it all on the altar. Whatever you want me to do, God, you want me to vacuum the floor? You want me to pull weeds out of the garden? God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll do it with joy. For years, I knocked doors and gave candy to little kids and started giving Bible studies to their parents and seeing people come into the church. And long before I ever got behind a pulpit and feeling the anointing of God, I felt the anointing in a home Bible study. Woo! Hallelujah. I felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon me like David on the back 40 watching sheep and defending them sheep. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't pastor. I've got me a suit now and a Bible. I want to preach. Well, what else have you done? Nothing. I want to be seen. I want to be Mr. Big. I've seen some like that. I told one of them recently, been knowing him since he's a kid. I said, you're on your way to destruction, boy. Trying to be Mr. Big Cheese. You're going to go down, old boy. If you don't humble yourself, you're headed for shipwreck. I said, I've seen bigger men than me and you that made terrible shipwreck, because pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. You better humble yourself. This ain't no big Ikes around here. We serve God. He's the king. He's the one that receives the glory. So, how about it? You want to find and feel your divine purpose in God's kingdom? I found myself, boom, in Atlanta, Georgia. I thought, I'm almost 40 years old. Don't look like missionary is going to happen. I got carried to Mexico in 1983. Something got a hold of me. And I thought, well, maybe one of these days, but it just like, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And then I went to a meeting in California, got into a prayer line. God spoke to me through somebody and said, I'm not done with you. I'm going to take this talent you got speaking Spanish, and I'm going to use it. And I don't even remember what else that God told me. God spoke to me in that meeting. And I came back home after working years and years trying to get Spanish people in our church. Boom, boom, boom. 20 people. 20 Latinos. Hondurans, Mexicans. And then it hung there for just a little bit. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. 120 Hispanics in our church. Perseverance. Knocking doors, crying and praying, begging people to come to church. For years. For years. Pastor told me, take the sign down. I said, what? I don't want to throw in the towel. I figured he was testing me. Huh? Seeing how quick I'd give up. I didn't give up. I said, I didn't give up. Because you see, when God puts that dream in you, that dream, you've just always dreamed about me. Well, who put that dream in my heart? Tell me that. Who put that there? Who put that desire? Who put that burden? Who put that burning desire into my heart? Huh? Was it me? No, it came from God. And God wants to do the same thing for you. We're not just bench warmers around here. God wants a church right here in Nacogdoches, Texas. There's people out there that's searching. They don't know where to go. And you have the key. You keys to the kingdom. You have the answer. And it's your turn in history. Esther's dead. Esther went down in history as whoo. Oh, it's in the Bible. Esther. Woo! Man, was she ever more blessed of God? But if she hadn't fulfilled God's divine purpose, she wouldn't be. She's dead. Y'all know that, don't you? She's dead now. Now, it's your turn in history. It's your turn. All of our apostles and those who did great things in the Bible, they're all dead and in the grave, but now we're alive, and it's that burden is laid on us, and it's up to us. There's some of you, amen, you can't see. You cannot see that you're not just here, just church hopping or church shopping or warming a bench. I don't know any of you, but I'm going to tell you, God's got a divine purpose for your life. And it ain't gonna get dropped in your lap. You gotta have the Spirit of the Lord shine that light. Amen. The glorious gospel, first of all. If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, that's where it starts. God's calling you into His kingdom. You gotta have the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. You gotta repent. You gotta leave the world. You gotta get out of the sinning business. God didn't come to give you a license to keep on in sin and loving the world and the things of this world. He came to save us out of it. He came to give us a power that we can overcome it. Now, when you get in this kingdom, after you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, God's got a divine purpose for you. Yes. When's it going to happen? I don't know. And I'm going to tell you this. He ain't going to just fling you up and make you a conference preacher overnight. You can forget that. He's going to have to work on you. You'll have to go through some stuff. Because there ain't no big I's and little U's in this thing. That's right. You got to go through some boot camp. I don't like boot camp. Well, sorry. You won't amount to much. The only difference in this boot camp and Navy SEALs is that God ain't going to eliminate you. If you just keep on persevering and trying, I can't run as fast as the rest of them. I can't carry that load like those other guys can. But God is with you, and He'll help you. And, you know, one guy received 5 talents, and another one received 2. And poor little guy, he just received 1. But it wasn't God wasn't picking on him. He said He gave to them severally, to according to their own ability. You don't have to worry about God taking you and putting you behind a 1,000 people preaching a conference somewhere. You're not able to do that. But anybody know how to love somebody? The love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost? You can do that. You can open your mouth and tell somebody, oh, God was so good to me Sunday night. He touched me and He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He delivered me. He took the depression away. He took the oppression away. He gave me joy and peace. I'm going to tell you, it's for you. You can do something. You can do something. Oh, I hope I didn't keep it too long. What time y'all get out of here? For real? Well, I think I better get done. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? If you can just understand, God takes people out of the world that is a nobody. He takes people out of broken homes. Mom and daddy don't care for them sometimes. Just come from brokenness. And that's the kind that God's focused in on. He heals their broken heart. And he brings them into a beautiful place where there's purpose. You know, I guess I'm going to try to end up with this, but I had the privilege of being out in California and went to Richard Nixon's presidential library. And I took a picture of something, a quotation he said. That man had gone through it. Whatever your opinion is about Richard Nixon, whatever. But I know this, that he made a statement that really, really reached out and grabbed me. And he said, when you lose your purpose, now y'all listening to me? When you lose your purpose for life other than for yourself, you die. Selfish people, they die. I'm not talking about necessarily physically, but they're walking around dead people. They're dead. They're non-productive. They're not fruitful. They're useless. They're useless because the only purpose that they have is me, 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 mine, 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 mine. How about me? Me, 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 me. I know a certain lady, me and my wife does, that she said that a billion times. What about me? 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 What about you? What about God? What about God's purpose, lady? She's miserable and knows the truth. But he said, a person that doesn't have purpose in life other than for himself dies. First, he dies spiritually, or maybe it was mentally, and then spiritually, and then physically. When you don't have a purpose for your life, I'm going to tell you about drove me crazy before I knew the truth. I was in a Baptist church. And I remember sometimes I had this feeling come over me. What am I here for? Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life? I feel like a big nobody. I feel like a big zero with a rim rubbed out. I just feel like I'm a nothing. What am I existing for? But oh my God, I found that God did have a purpose for my life. When I found that, it gave me life. It gave me a reason to live. I'm going to tell you, when you find that purpose, it'll make you so happy. It'll make you so joyful. Well, do you think I'll be a missionary to Mars or something and be somebody super famous? I don't know what. God don't want to make you famous, but he's got a place for you. But I'll tell you, wherever it might be, where it'll start at is right here. Right here in this church. Right here in this church. Right on your job, at your school. It'll start right with your neighbor. It'll start in the store. People that you know, your friends, your family. That's where it'll all start. It could start out like me, behind the steering wheel of a Sunday school bus, giving a candy and gum to little kids and saying, I love you. I'll never forget a little boy. I had to spank his britches on a Sunday school bus. Buddy, he was kicking that seat, reared back and kicked. I said, you stop that. And he just grinned at me with a defiant grin and kicked it again. I said, I told you to stop it. He kicked it again. I said, I'm going to tear you up. And he kicked it again. I took my belt off. Back in those days, you could do that. Nowadays, you'd wind up. Mom would have your eyeballs clawed out and you'd be in prison. You never would get out. Back in those days, you could correct children, you know. I wore his little britches out. And you know why I did it? Because I was a mean, sadistic feller. No. I took that little boy and I told him, son, you know why we come by and pick you up and take you to church? Because we love you. I come by every Saturday and give you gum and candy because I love you. We're taking you to Sunday school to learn about God because we love you. Nobody's paying us to do this. And his heart was broken. He sobbed. And I promise you, every time I saw him after that, he'd run up to me and hug me. And the love got to him. The correction got. That's the way God does us. He corrects those that he loves. Oh, but you're talking about a sweet thing whenever. Oh, that's such a clean feeling. when you know that God's loved you enough to give you a little spanking and correct you. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm talking about all of this, but God's trying to get you ready for his kingdom. Live in a world that don't touch me, honey. Don't spank me. Don't get on to me. Well, that's from the devil. It ain't from God. I don't know what your philosophy is, but I believe in the word of God. And God said that he chastens those that he loves. He did it over and over again to Israel because he loved them. And he'll do it to you because he loves you. He don't want to destroy you. He wants to make something out of you. You got a purpose. You got a purpose for your life. Amen. Everybody happy tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The piano player and the drum player are still sitting there. Y'all still want me to play? Is that okay? You know what? While I'm playing, I'm going to play How Great Thou Art. How great thou art. He is a great God. He is so good. He is so great. He is almighty. He's the all-powerful God. He is so great in love and in power that he can make you a brand new creature. And he can take you from the pits of sin and from pure destruction. Maybe you feel like your life is in pieces tonight. Maybe you feel like you're hopeless. Maybe you feel like, how could there be a purpose for my life? And I'm here to tell you tonight that there is, that God can take pieces and make something beautiful out of your life. Maybe you feel like, well, I'm too old in life. Oh, no, there's nothing impossible with God. I saw a lady, 85 years old. I gave her Bible study. And right before she died, she was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, ready for death and ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves you tonight, and there's hope in the house. I want you to worship with me as I play How Great Thou Art. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
just like to say this. The preaching, that's what God chose, was the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. It's the sowing of the Word of God. Whether it produces fruit or not depends on the condition of your heart. And so I did my best tonight to sow the Word of God, to sow hope and purpose in your life tonight. I don't think it'd be appropriate to just dismiss, because you need to do something with what you heard tonight. You really do. We need to have at least a moment to pray about it. We need to carry our hearts to the Lord. We need to ask God to let that seed be productive in us. Don't just let it fall on stony ground. You got to do something with your heart. You got to break up that heart so it can receive a tender heart, that can receive the Word of God, and it can start to produce something in your life. Young people especially. I'd like to ask the young people tonight, let's pray before we leave. Maybe the sister could sing or play or something, but why don't we pray tonight? Why don't we carry this to the Lord? Why don't you ask the Lord, God, what have you got for my life? Because I know you got a purpose for me, and He does. I'm telling you, He's got a purpose for your life. Don't miss it. Don't be a spiritual vagabond. Don't throw it away, falling after your old flesh. Don't throw it away listening to the voice of the devil, him telling you you're not worth anything because you're more precious. Hallelujah. You're more precious than all of the world to the Lord. He died for you. You're in this place because He drawed you, because He called you to. Hallelujah. It's got a beautiful purpose for your life. It's not to throw it away in adultery and fornication. No, He's got a godly man for you, young lady. If you don't throw yourself away, He's got a godly young lady for you, young man. If you don't just throw yourself away to sin, God's got a purpose. God gave me a wife 47 years ago. I was praying for a wife, and here she is tonight, 47 years. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you, young people. Don't throw your hope away. Don't abandon the promises of God. Don't abandon the purpose of God for your life tonight. Come on, let's call on Him tonight. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I give myself to you. Jesus is calling. Jesus is touching tonight. Hallelujah. He wants to touch your mind tonight. He wants to give you hope. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's call on Him tonight.
Put your life into His master plan. He has a work for you. Put your life into the Master's hand. Put your life into the Master's hand. Put your life into His master plan. He has a work for you. Master's hand. Put your life into the Master's hand. Put your life into His master plan. He has a work for you that nobody else can do. Put your life into the Master's hand. Put your life into the Master's hand. Put your life into His master plan. He has a work for you. Amen. master's hand. Put your life into the master's hand. Put your life into his master plan. He has a work for you no one else can do. Put your life into the master's plan.